Good morning. We are continuing in our book by Rich Velotis, The Narrow Path. We're on chapter 4, and that chapter is called Our Witness. And witness is defined in the dictionary as having knowledge of an event or change from a personal observation or experience, to give or serve as evidence of, to testify to, or to be a testimony. So a reading from Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Listen for God's word to you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and then put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. There's an ancient legend that goes like this, and it was told by the first Christians that lived in the catacombs under the streets of Rome. And it recounts the day that Jesus returns to glory after completing his work on earth. The angel Gabriel meets him in heaven, and he's welcoming him home. And he says, Lord, he says, who have you left behind to carry on your good work? And Jesus tells him about the disciples and the little band of fishermen and farmers and women and housewives. But Lord, says Gabriel, what if they fail you? What if they lose heart or drop out? What if things get too hard for them and they let you down? Well, Jesus says, then everything I've done was for nothing. But you don't have a backup plan? Gabriel asked. Isn't there something else to be done to keep your work continuing? No, Jesus says, there's no backup plan. Just the church. That's it. Nothing else. And Gabriel says, nothing else? But what if they fail? They won't fail, Gabriel, Jesus says. Isn't it a marvelous thing to read about these Christians who were under the streets of Rome because of the terrors of Nero above them? There was nothing in that world for them. They were poor, they were despised, they were insignificant. Yet Jesus knew them, and he said, you won't fail. You are my people. And you won't fail. And that's what Jesus is telling us in those scriptures that we just read. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light in the world. You are my witness. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. And whoever follows you will never walk in darkness, but they will have the light within. Lord, you have called us to reflect your light and to be the light of the world. So, Holy Spirit, we do ask that you would come and prepare us. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Holy Father, make your presence known to us as we lean in and listen to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. There are three big questions that we've all pondered at one time or another. Maybe you're pondering it today. It's identity. Who am I? Belonging. Where do I fit in? And purpose. How can I make a difference? The good thing is you don't have to guess it. There's no guesswork involved because Jesus is telling us who we are in this passage. Now, the first thing that we need to remember is the context here. Jesus was just has given his disciples the Beatitudes, and now he's going to reveal to us our purpose here on earth. He's giving us instructions, a recipe for a life worth living, one that that will glorify God. He points out our identity and tells us where we fit in. Jesus affirms and recognizes our potential in him, his disciples. He is calling forth our very identity that he created in us before he even placed us in our mother's womb. He is revealing the immense purpose for his kingdom here on earth. Jesus is speaking to you. He is speaking to us, his church. In our life together, we not only have individual calls and identities, but we have a collective identity. We are the church. We are salt. We are light. In Jesus' day, salt did much more than just flavor foods. It was used as an agent to properly prepare food, including baked goods. In a world without refrigerators, salt was a primary use for preserving food. It was also used for purifying sacrifices. Salt was a massively important commodity in the ancient world. And Jesus is saying here that just as the salt was crucial during his period, it is crucial now. He's saying we are the salt. We are the church. We are responsible for preserving the morality, the justice, and social conscience. But not only does salt preserve, it also flavors. And likewise, the followers of Christ, we should be adding flavor to our world. Now, I'm not a baker per se, but one of my hobbies is making sourdough bread. And recently, I had a series of weekends whenever I didn't have time to bake bread. But if you know anything about sourdough, you have to continue to feed your starter each week or it'll eventually die. So after not baking for several weekends, feeding my starter, though, I got everything out of the refrigerator and realized I had about 7 quarts of starter. I don't know, 35, 40 loaves of bread, I don't know. I was a bit overwhelmed. But I started, I've been making sourdough for some time, and so I knew the recipe, I knew the process, so I just began. And somewhere along the way, I began to realize that my dough was unusually sticky. Something was off. So first thing I did is I Googled it. And then I pulled my recipe out and looked at it. And I realized that I had been leaving the salt out of some of the loaves. Now, I wasn't about to throw those loaves away. I was already invested, if you know anything about that. So I just kept them, and I thought, well, I'll see how they turn out, what the end product might be. I thought surely they'd be okay, maybe just not as tasty. But as the bread began to rise, and I started the stretching and folding process, I noticed that the bread with salt was a stronger dough. It was not sloppy or sticky, but smooth. And it seemed to be fermenting even slower. Holding together, it was easily shaped. It was forming beautifully. The dough without salt was wet and sloppy, hard to handle. I had to use oil on my hands, more flour on my board, a scraper to try to shape it. But I didn't throw it out. And in the end, the sourdough that I followed the instructions was beautiful. It was well formed. It was browned, had that spring. It had just the feature of that crispy crust on the outside, soft and fluffy in the center. And the taste, well, it was yummy. The bread without the salt, well, it looked like bread. It browned. And didn't really have a distinctive crust, but you wouldn't have known. There was a spring, but it wasn't very tasty, and the texture was rather dense. And you may not have noticed if you saw the two loaves sitting side by side on the counter, but once you took a bite, you could tell the difference. The bread with the salt was tasty, and the bread without salt was bland. Now, I share this illustration. I thought of it when I was preparing this message. Maybe God let me leave the salt out on purpose. I don't know. But the illustration is much like bread is much like the church. When we get complacent, when we leave the salt out, not following the recipe for life that Jesus has given us, we get into the mode of a church that is doing rather than a church that is intentionally about its purpose. We get sloppy. We get loose. We forget that we are salt. We forget that we are light. We forget our purpose. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden." Today, we take for granted light. We flip on a few switches and we have as much light as we want. However, in the ancient world, when you didn't have light and it was dark, it was dark. And when you had a source of light, you weren't about to cover it up. You would want it to shine. How many times have you been coming home from Midland and it's dark? And you're many miles away, yet you can see the light of Midland on the horizon. That light can't be hidden, no matter how dark it is. And I don't know about you, but when I see that light after I've been gone for a while, there is a sense of relief, a little comfort, knowing that I'm almost home. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. We are the church. We are the light of the world. Jesus says in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world." But remarkably, he is giving us that same title. And just as the moon reflects the sun and Jesus' light, Jesus is inviting us, his followers, to reflect his light. Now, our light might not shine as bright as his, but everyone knows just a little bit of light dispenses the darkness. Like salt, it has many purposes, and one of the primary purposes of is to dispense the darkness, and it helps us see. It makes things that are visible and reveals otherwise things that are hidden. Light helps people to find their way. Light helps people to find their way to God. This is our sacred calling. Jesus is counting on us. Unfortunately, light can also be used to blind. Rich Velotis tells us in this chapter that about his children that are using a flashlight and they're making a little animal's shadows on the wall. And soon they become bored and they start shining it into each other's eyes. So very quickly, that light that was useful becomes harmful. When we have been given this light by Jesus and we begin to use it to highlight vices in others or shame or condemn or begin to think that we're better than others, then that light that Jesus gave us to shine and to pour towards him becomes a way of pushing people away, a way of turning people off to Christ. So what exactly are we supposed to do? How do we shine our light? Each follower of Christ is called to live in such a distinctive way that those people that are lost, that are looking, they're going to catch a glimpse of God and his love. People who are hurting, who are struggling, or who are lost will be drawn to the light in you. They will be drawn to the Jesus in you. The world is a dark and hurting place. And we all have that light. And it can shine through us if we let it. Now, going back to our first three questions about identity, belonging, and making a difference, here are some instructions, some recipes. Our identity is we are salt, we are light. We are God's own children. We are in the family of God through our faith through Jesus Christ. He is calling the very best out in us, his disciples. He calls us out even before we've done anything worth anything. We are a new creation. Our old has passed away. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are tasked with the job of sharing the gift of love and reconciliation. We are disciples who make disciples. Collectively, we are the body of Christ, with each having our own unique role. We are a community, a fellowship that support and live together, reflecting the light of Christ, reflecting God's glory. Our purpose is to glorify God. Jesus says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. He says, this is our purpose. Simple, to glorify God, to glorify Him in everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we say. Not necessarily easy, but possible with the power of the Holy Spirit and a relationship in Christ. Belonging. You belong, we belong to the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Jesus. You are an intricate part of that body, having a role that God created even before the foundation of the earth. And it's important because from the beginning of the scripture to the end, we see that God is just not simply interested in rescuing individuals. Rather, He is forming a new community, a new family, a new humanity. The gospel is not just good news for our personal lives, but it's the power through God to establish a new way. It's the power for our world to see God. And you can make a difference. In fact, you are making a difference. We all influence the world around us. The question is, how are you influencing it? How are you reflecting in the world? Who are you reflecting in the world? Now think of the crowd that Jesus was speaking to. It wasn't a gathering of the well-to-do or the rich and famous or CEOs. The crowd was on a hillside in a tiny spot called Palestine. It was a group of common people with no high ambition or position. In fact, they were under occupation. They couldn't make their own laws. They couldn't even determine their own futures. They couldn't even decide what their destiny might be. Yet Jesus said to them, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You make a difference in society and in those lives that you encounter every day." Jesus is saying that we are the salt of the earth, that we are the light of the world. Why? Because we have some kind of great power, or we have a position in some oil company or the bank or government, or because we're so smart or good looking? No. It's because we belong to Him. We belong to Jesus. On the outside, we may look like everyone else, but on the inside, we are as big as the kingdom of God. We have the power and the glory of the risen Lord. We can, you can make a difference. On the outside, just like the bread, looks the same, but on the inside, it's very different. So do you get the picture? As followers of Christ, you may come to church every Sunday. You may attend Sunday school. You may even be a part of a discipleship group. However, if that's all you are doing, just attending to be seen, are you truly the light in a dark world? Are you the salt of the world? Or have you lost your flavor? Or are we disciples of Jesus, His followers? Are we salty that our very presence draws the best out in others? Is our light shining the joy, the peace, the kindness, the courage and compassion and justice in our world? Are we bringing forth goodness all over with everyone that we encounter, that people are curious what that light is? What is that seasoning that you have? Rich Velotis has a challenge for us, and he wants us to think about the people that we avoid, the groups that we've been against, the individuals that we have written off. Yeah, there's times to establish boundaries and to stand against evil. But if this is your default posture of being against something, so when you wake up in the morning, do you choose to cast a shadow or light a candle? Because if you don't choose to light a candle, by default, you will cast a shadow. And from the very beginning, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he is calling you, he is calling me to reflect the glory of God, to reflect God's character. Why? Because the world longs to behold the glory of God. Humanity was created to live in this light, was created to glorify God. And while sin has darkened the world, there are still traces of light that exist. We have got to be that light. We have got to be the ones pointing people, showing them the way to Christ. This is our identity. This is our purpose. This is how we make a difference in the world. We have been created for such a time as this, in a world that is torn apart. And Jesus is counting on us. Jesus has no plan B. In Jesus' name, amen.